From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, a state of disunion. Accountability comes for tech giants and maybe even for the government, too. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Tuesday of this week, President Biden delivered his second State of the Union speech, which was at times a rambling, angry, and deceptive speech, intended to scare Americans while not even addressing the most important issues of our time. He promised to veto pro-life laws and completely ignored the Chinese spy balloon that ambled across the country for nearly a week. And he called out Senator Rick Scott, claiming that the senator wanted to cut Social Security, which is objectively untrue. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins on Wednesday to discuss the State of the Union speech was Florida Senator Rick Scott. Here's Tony Perkins.
Senator, welcome back to the program.
I think the right word is lie. I don't think we're supposed to call people liars, but what he said is a lie. You can't make this stuff up. So I put out a plan. You can go to rescueamerica.com, and it says, look, you know, let's come up with some ideas how to make this a better place. Let's get family back into, promote families, promote God, get God back into life, things like that. You know, make sure we, respect human life. But anyway, one section says we should sunset, the laws and regulations unless we want to keep them. So he wants to put out there that we want to cut Medicare and Social Security, which is a lie. But guess what's even better? He actually did a bill to sunset everything. And then let me give you the quote of what he said about, when I argued that we should freeze federal spending, I meant Social Security as well, Medicare, Medicaid, veterans benefits. I meant every single solitary thing in the government, quote unquote, by Joe Biden as a U.S. senator. So he might be of a little bit of a hypocrite. And then, as you know, in September, he signed a bill to cut $280 billion out of Medicare, which will cut life-saving drugs. So he might be a liar, he might be a hypocrite, but he's one of those things. Could be clueless.
What is very frustrating, and this is, I'm sure, frustrating to you and to others, is that the Republicans have been very clear about this, responding to this from day one when they made this comment. I've had the chairman of every committee in the House on this program that deals with Medicare and Social Security. I've had the Republican majority leader on the program talking about it, saying, we're not even considering that. Hasn't even come up in discussion. We're not going to happen. You've responded and said, that's not what we're talking about here. But he continues to push this. As you said last night in an interview, he's lying. This is politics at its worst.
Yeah. But, what he's trying to do is just scare people. And by the way, if we don't balance our budget, guess what? If we don't do anything in, 10 to 12 years, Social Security, you have over a 20% cut in Social Security. So if we just sit here, do what the Democrats want to do, just keep spending money, just an automatic 20% cut. On top of that, we will run out of money.
Right.
Eventually, the bondholders are not going to lend us money. And we can balance this budget. We don't have to, actually, we can balance the budget. Biden could actually pay the interest without even any bills passing. But we got a lot of ideas of how to do this. And we've got to get our fiscal house in order, and we've got to preserve Medicare, and we've got to preserve Social Security, Medicaid, all these safety net programs that are important to people.
Yeah, because they won't be around. You're absolutely right. They won't be around because we won't be able to afford them, because we'll have an implosion. Yesterday, I had your colleague, Senator John Cornyn, part of the leadership team over there in the Senate, asking, will the Republicans in the Senate back up the House Republicans who are saying we will not pass a debt ceiling raise without some spending reforms? He said Republicans will stand with them in the Senate. Is that your sense as well?
Absolutely. We're working hard with the House. Kevin McCarthy was at our conference today. The Republican senators had a conference today. He came at lunch. He did a really good job talking about how we're going to work together to responsibly raise the debt ceiling. We're going to focus on getting structural changes that will ultimately balance the budget, and how we're going to look at every dime we can right now to save money on programs that would be maybe nice to have. But when you have, $31.5 trillion worth of debt, you can't spend the money like that.
Last night, one of the things that I heard nothing about there was no mention of something that the entire country had been fixated on for about a week that was floating across the country. It's as if the Chinese spy balloon never existed. Why did the president not address that issue?
Well, think about it. He didn't address that. He couldn't explain why he didn't do something about it before he ever got into the U.S. airspace. He didn't talk about how he's going to cut inflation. He didn't talk about how he's going to make us energy independent. He didn't talk about how he's going to secure the border. Something important in Florida, he didn't talk about how he's going to promote liberty and freedom and democracy in Latin America. He didn't focus on how he's going to hold anything, the Chinese government accountable. So, I mean, it was just a wasteful, we sit there, it was a wasteful 2 hours of our time.
He did focus on things that he can't do anything about. He called for teachers to get raises. I thought that was a state issue. Yeah, he talked about other people doing work, but when it came to the work that he needs to do, this is almost laughable when he talks about reducing the price of concert tickets because of fees that are placed on and resort fees, but yet he doesn't address the border and the drugs that are coming across the border because of his policy.
Tony, my guest last night was a police chief down in the Miami area. So in his job, he deals with fentanyl overdose and drug overdose. But on top of that, he lost his son, his 32-year-old son, a year ago to fentanyl overdose. So 70,000 people died of fentanyl overdose last year. 107,000 people died of drug overdose. A lot of it's coming from China through the cartels. But the Biden administration doesn't care. I've asked my office, why don't you guys care about all these people dying? If you look at your actions, you clearly don't care about people in America dying from fentanyl overdose.
We've talked about a lot of the points the president brought up last night, but anything else that just surprised you that was in or not in the president's remarks last night?
I think if you look at the issues, not addressing China, not addressing Latin America, but look at some big issues, inflation, gas prices, border, China, Latin America for us in Florida. I'm trying to think. I sat there and tried to think, what did he propose that actually has a chance? So I did attack, he attacked the law enforcement. He did attack the rich. He attacked corporations, as far as I remember. He started the speech unifying, and then the whole speech was, trying to divide us. We've got to get a president that's going to bring us together. That's what I tried to do when I was governor of Florida. I didn't talk about party. I talked about solving problems. I represent everybody. Have a president like that.
Well, you know, as governor, one of the ways you do bring people together is when you have an external threat that you focus people on. And as governor, you had the hurricanes, you had the storms. People come together for those. And historically speaking, we know this from civilizations, when there are external threats that then unify people to focus on. And quite frankly, that's what China is. China is a threat to this country economically, militarily, but the absence of his concern or maybe compromise. I have no idea. I cannot figure out why. I cannot figure out why he is so soft on China.
Tony, one thing I always tell everybody is, each of us should take everything into the control. What can we do? So right now, every American, if you want to hold China accountable, don't ever buy another product from China.
Absolutely.
If you can find out on their website where it's made, don't buy it.
Absolutely.
And then eventually these companies will start telling us where they're made.
And they're hiding it. They're hiding, because on Amazon, when I buy something on Amazon, I search to find out where it's bought, and I'll often email and ask, where's this made?
Oh, yeah. They try to hide. I've had a bill since I've been up here. I've been up here 4 years. That would require Amazon and any online retailer to disclose country of origin. They fight it. They have their lobbyists fight it all the time because they're making a fortune off of selling us junk from China. And so I look at every American company and say, act American. Act American, act in the best interest of America, your kids, your grandkids. That means you don't do business with China.
Right.
It's not the people of China, it's the government of China.
Absolutely. And we're a stronger country for it. Senator, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us this afternoon.
See you, Tony. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You can find out more about Rick Scott when you visit tonyperkins.com. We also invite you to check out our news site, The Washington Stand. You'll find news of the day there, brought to you with a distinctly Christian perspective. You can find a link as well at tonyperkins.com.
What do we do when our world is driven by cancel culture? God's prophet Jeremiah faced a similar dilemma in his own age. The Israelites had turned to evil, yet the Lord called Jeremiah to proclaim truth amidst a culture that had rejected it. God has given Christians today the same command, to stand for truth. Starting January 21st, you can join FRC on a 40-day journey through the book of Jeremiah. This study is part of FRC's Stand on the Word Bible reading plan, and the book of Jeremiah is a perfect place to jump into reading God's Word. To help aid your study, FRC has launched a brand new study guide titled Jeremiah, Courage in a Cancel Culture. Each day's study includes questions for reflection and a place for taking notes. Order your copy at frc.org/Jeremiah. Through this study, we pray we will draw closer to the Lord and be emboldened to stand firm for biblical truth. Find Tony's daily Stand on the Word video devotional at frc.org/Bible and jump into Jeremiah with us by going to frc.org/Jeremiah.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. As the new Congress begins to start their official duties, one of the areas of governance that they decided to ramp up quickly was their oversight responsibilities. And first on the list was a meeting with tech companies over their efforts to minimize certain information at the behest of the U.S. government. Joining Tony Perkins to talk about those hearings is Representative Pat Fallon of Texas.
Congressman Fallon, welcome back to the program.
Tony, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was watching most of the hearing today. It was pretty long. What was your takeaway from this oversight hearing looking at Twitter and their censorship?
Well, you know, Tony, I was struck by several things, one of which was I asked Joel Roth if he felt that Twitter had been biased when he was employed there. And he said that, you know, he said, no, they weren't. I said, well, that's interesting because 99.7% of Twitter employees in the 2022 election cycle donated to Democratic candidates, and only like a tiny fraction of Republicans. So clearly there was an overall bias. But then I asked him if he was. Did he hold a personal political bias? He denied that. And then we showed a quote where he compared Trump White House officials as Nazis. He compared them to Nazis, evil, monstrous folks on the planet that are responsible for 60 million people's deaths. And I said, a little bit hyperbolic? And he actually said, yes, it was. And I apologized. And he apologized. It was incredible. But what they did was they killed the Hunter Biden laptop story right before a presidential election and affected its outcome.
What do you think will come next? I mean, you've got some attorney generals in the states that are actually deposing some of these big tech giants right now, getting additional information. What I see happening, Pat, is that this is coming from so many different angles. It's hard to keep a lie straight. And so I think you're going to see a lot of these folks tripped up because they've said one thing over here thinking they're going to be covered forever because they just have a monopoly. But that's not the case anymore.
Yes, no, there's really literally a new sheriff in town. And when you lie, you get a tangled web, right? And you can't keep it straight. So one of the things that I talked about today, too, was Joe Biden said, Tony, in 2019, that he had no knowledge of his son's overseas business dealings. He was then candidate Joe Biden. Okay, that sounds good on the surface. And then the mainstream media dismissed the issue. But the evidence showed in the New York Post story that his laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop, showed that his father had extensive meetings with his son's business associates, Miguel Velasco and Magnani, Mexican business associates. There's a picture of Biden giving them a tour of the White House in 2014. He went to dinner at Cafe Milano with Kazakhstan business associates of his son's. He had a teleconference call with Carlos Slim in 2015. The Mexican billionaire, and it goes on and on. He met with an executive at Burisma, where his son then magically made millions of dollars, and it's basically an energy firm over in Ukraine. So he lied. They covered that story up, and Media Research Center did a poll that said Democratic voters, 70% of them in swing states, would have changed their vote if they had known about this information. So that's pretty damning.
So will this lead to further hearings?
I think so, absolutely. We're going to go where the evidence leads us, because there's also some things we didn't talk about today, because this is more Twitter. But there are 150 SARs, which are suspicious activity reports. These are things that are generated on people like Bernie Madoff that are doing very shady, little, very odd things. Not every SAR leads to a criminal or an indictable offense, but it's odd. And if you have a couple of them, that would be something that would be concerning. The Biden family has 150 SARs filed against them, and we're being denied access to them right now. So we need to find out what those 150 were, because I believe that might reveal that the president of the United States is actually compromised, which would be horrible.
Who's denying you access as a member of Congress, as a committee with oversight?
Yeah. Oh, the Department of Justice right now.
How is it that former President Trump's tax records could be released to the public and a Congressional Oversight Committee can't get access to this information that is a part of their official duty?
Yes. Well, it's a double standard. And if liberals didn't have double standards, Tony, they would have no standards at all. So now that we have subpoena power, I think things will change. But we could not get them before. We certainly hope we can get them now. Because if there's nothing to hide, then just release them. What is there to do? I mean, the media lies about us all the time. You know, I'm just a small fry member of Congress, but President Trump was lied about constantly. I welcome scrutiny. I don't care. I'd love to talk about it, because anything that they talk about with us is not going to be true as far as, you know, any negative ethics issues or anything like that. So why is he hiding it? Why is he cutting tail and running?
Final question for you, and I know you got to go to another meeting, and I appreciate you taking time to sure. join us. Is it your sense, based on what you're saying, and I'm not asking you to make it declarative, I'm just asking your sense of this, as you see what Twitter did, and of course we have the benefit of the Twitter files from Elon Musk, so we can look behind the curtain and we can see that this has happened. Is it your sense that the other social media giants have been doing the same thing?
Yes, there's no doubt. I mean, what Elon Musk's $44 billion revealed was our worst fears realized. We thought this was really happening, and now we know it was. And I suspect, just from being a conservative, I'm sure you've been a victim to it as well, the shadow banning, mm-hmm. We don't get a lot of play unless you're promoting. It's just very odd. And we actually entered into the record today. Jamie Raskin had a tweet condemning the Border Patrol for whipping Haitian migrants back in, I think it was June of 2021. Well, it was up for an entire year. It was proven to be patently false. That's either misinformation or certainly it was a mistake. And they never took it down. It's still up to this day. So they were very selective with what they called misinformation.
Well, as you said, if it weren't for double standards, they would have no standards at all. Congressman Pat Fallon, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for taking time to fill us in.
Thanks, Tony. God bless.
All right. Take care.
You can find out more about Pat Fallon when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And while you're there, won't you sign our petition in support of Newsmax? Let's stop corporate censorship of conservative viewpoints. Go to TonyPerkins.com and ask AT&T and DirecTV to add Newsmax back to their lineup. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
It is necessary for Christians to pray, to stand for truth, and above all things, seek after the Lord. You can join Family Research Council and FRC Action President Tony Perkins in this mission every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, as he hosts the Pray, Vote, Stand broadcast to equip you to pray, vote, and stand for biblical truth. This weekly half-hour program features experts and elected Christian leaders who help you see through the fog created by the biased mainstream media. To watch the broadcast, visit PrayVoteStand.org.
It's so important for Christians to learn how to apply their faith to the big issues and questions everyone is talking about today, which is why Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview presents Now We Live, a 6-week video series created in partnership with Summit Ministries. This free Biblical Worldview series will spark rich discussions about some of life's most foundational questions and challenge you to think about topics you see every day in a whole new way. Access this important series by going to frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday of this week, the brand new Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government held their first hearing. Their goal is to look into the ways that government agencies are needlessly harassing or investigating regular U.S. citizens on the basis of their political viewpoint. Joining Tony to talk about their work on the committee is Representative Harriet Hageman of Wyoming.
Congresswoman, welcome to Washington Watch. Great to have you.
Thank you, Tony. It's wonderful to be here.
So tell us about today's hearing. This is a pretty significant committee, by the way, and congratulations on being put onto this committee. Chairman Jim Jordan, longtime friend of mine, and tenacious in getting to the facts. I am thrilled to see the work of this committee. Tell us about this first hearing today.
Well, it is momentous, and it is an incredibly important committee. We have to get to the bottom of what has been going on with our federal government. And the title or the name of the committee itself, I think, tells exactly what we're looking into. The weaponization of these agencies and the White House, the executive branch against citizens of this country, primarily focused on differences in political opinion. The conservatives have been being targeted for quite some time. We know what the IRS did with the Tea Party. We know how the IRS was weaponized in order to make it so that our various Tea Party groups could not get the tax-exempt status that they needed to be able to operate. That was only the beginning. Well, maybe it wasn't even the beginning. Maybe that was something that had been going on for quite some time, but that's when we started seeing it being exposed. And that's what this hearing today is about and what we will continue to do in working on this committee to expose what's going on with the federal government.
Senator Johnson is a frequent guest on our program, and I listened to his testimony today, and he made reference to what you just talked about with the IRS. And, you know, you could say, well, you know, that was a one-off. But then he followed up, and some of the stuff that he said, quite frankly, was shocking, that our own government, I mean, here's, in fact, Senator Grassley, another longtime friend, guest on this program, both of them saying that the FBI, the federal government, trying to undermine the work that they were doing to try to expose what was happening, in fact, marginalizing and discrediting their work.
Both of them gave very powerful testimony. I knew some of the backstory with what they had been doing and what they had been subjected to. But even today, they were only given 10 to 12 minutes to be able to explain in a very succinct form what they've been through and what they've uncovered. And what they discussed is just really shocking in a republic like the United States of America. We always have to remember that the government is only there to protect our natural rights. And the fact that it has been weaponized the way that it has to go after the political enemies of the Democrats is something that should be frightening to everyone. And they exposed today exactly that, what happens when the federal government becomes the enemy of the people.
Now, I know you're just getting started. I mean, it's a first hearing, but I know you've been preparing for this. This is new. You've come to Washington to serve the folks of Wyoming. Are you surprised at just how bad it is, even though you knew there was a problem? Is it worse than you thought?
I think in some ways it's going to be, I'm going to find that it's worse than I thought, but I also am heartened by the fact that we're getting the information out there. I have been paying a lot of attention to this for quite some time. As you may know, I'm a water and natural resource and constitutional attorney. So I've been focusing on what the federal government is doing to the great citizens of this country in my practice, mm-hmm. in my legal work. And so I've been fully aware at how the federal government especially has been targeting conservatives, Republicans, religious organizations to further a liberal political agenda. And so some of the information I'm well aware of. I believe that over the next year and a half, as we continue with these kinds of hearings, I think we will be uncovering incredibly important information to make sure that our government is held accountable.
Well, Congresswoman, I think the committee's already having an effect. Yesterday on our program, we had one of your fellow committee members, Dan Bishop, was on the program, and report, a news article had come out about the FBI and a memo targeting radical traditionalist Catholic ideology. And this came out of the Richmond field office last month, warning that this group was a threat, or groups, and it was based upon information from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a discredited leftist organization, mm-hmm. which has targeted us and led to a shooting here at our building. But today, I mean, within, 30 minutes of the start of the subcommittee hearing, they released a statement retracting that memo. So I think the committee is already holding government accountable.
I think that's exactly right. But them retracting that letter does not mean that we should not get to the bottom of why it was written in the first place, because that is a culture and mentality that we need to ferret out and find out where it's coming from, why it is finding a foothold in the FBI.
Excellent point.
that we can just, even when they correct something, excellent, we need point to get to the underlying reason as to why it happened.
You are absolutely correct. Thank you for bringing that, because it is a culture. This is a cultural issue.
Yes.
At the FBI and in the government, that, and this happens all the time. You catch them, oh, that was a mistake. We didn't mean to do that.
Right.
And so it is the underlying culture, and I am thankful this committee is there. So I know your time is short, but I want to ask you one final question. The subcommittee has said it is committed to following the truth wherever it takes them. What do you anticipate next?
Well, I think that we're going to be looking at a variety of issues. One of them that has been raised is the level of surveillance that we're all under with this government. You talked about the Chinese balloon, and obviously we had a foreign incursion over the last 10 days from China. But we also have a federal government that is surveilling us in so many ways, whether it's as something as requiring all livestock producers to use radio frequency identification ear tags. Why would the USDA be trying to impose something like that against our livestock producers? There's a whole variety of issues that we need to get to the bottom of. This is a First Amendment panel that we're talking about now. This is an issue about protecting the First Amendment and making sure that the FBI and DOJ are not infringing on our First Amendment rights. First Amendment in terms of freedom of speech, but also freedom of religion, as you just described with the letter that we discussed. But surveillance is a big one, and also just using agencies in a way to punish political enemies, which is something that's been going on for quite some time.
This is the final question. Citizens who have encountered things like this, can they communicate this to the committee to look at?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They need to get a hold of the folks that are on that committee. They can get a hold of our individual offices. The information from my office, for example, is on our website. If people have information of things that they have, personal information about ways in which the government is working against the citizens, then we'd like to know that.
All right. We'll put a link up to your site on our site. Congresswoman Hageman, thank you so much for joining us. Great to meet you. And again, congratulations on your election.
Thank you. We'll visit soon.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234.